All right, welcome, great people, to joesdailyushistorylesson.com.
It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because Americans, unlike just about everyone else on planet Earth, fly our flag everywhere. It is truly awesome. Another reason why I do this show is because of the men and women serving in the military. If you are serving or if you have ever served, thank you for your service. By the way, folks, if you are listening to this on iTunes, just so you know, I love a good review. So do me a solid and write a review for me and recommend this to all your friends and family. Thank you very much for that. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're ever looking to move to the area or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. That's Teresa with an H. And let's begin the show as we normally do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Woohoo! America! And now on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to First Lady Abigail Fillmore. McNamara rejects a CIA proposal to sabotage U.S. cities in an effort to start a war with Cuba. And I'll talk about basketball news, including Wilt Chamberlain, Boston Celtics, and March Madness news about Princeton. All right, so let's do this. 1798. Happy birthday, First Lady Abigail Fillmore. Abigail Powers, the last First Lady to be born in the 18th century, was born on this day in 1798 to a preacher Lemuel and Abigail Powers in Saratoga, New York. When Reverend Powers died shortly after Abigail's birth, her mother moved the family west to a little town in New York called Sempronius. Little Abigail received a good education, learning how to speak French, play the harp, and become a teacher herself at the age of 16, which officially makes Abigail Fillmore the first First Lady to have a job before becoming First Lady. At age 21, a spark ignited with her 19-year-old student Millard Fillmore at the Academy of New Hope, where she was teaching. It took young Millard a little while to get his law career off the ground, so the two didn't get married until February 5, 1826. Abigail gave birth to their only son, Millard Jr., and subsequently, Millard Sr. was able to move his new family to Buffalo, where Abigail gave birth to Mary. Miller would become elected congressman in 1836, where she got to deal with the glamour of politics. But Abigail wasn't into glamour. She wanted to be with her books. Ah, yes, Washington Irving, Charles Dickens, and everything else from her childhood library left by her father, as well as other books that were on her Amazon wish list that Millard would pick up from libraries in New York City and Philly libraries on his way to Congress meetings. In 1849, her hubby would be elected vice president under General Zachary Taylor. And a year and 4 months later, Taylor died. And just like Mrs. Taylor, Mrs. Fillmore didn't want to even step foot in the White House. If you want to know much more about Peggy Taylor, I get into her on my September 21st ep. Dealing with a broken ankle that wasn't set right by doctors, Abigail cared not to take over the First Lady roles, but rather left those duties to 20-year-old daughter Mary. Although Abigail whispered in her hubby's ear to veto the Fugitive Slave Act, Millard, the American Louis Philippe Fillmore, went ahead with it anyway, upsetting his Whig constituents, and therefore was not invited back to the next nomination for president. Democrat Frank Pierce would win, and 26 days later after the inauguration, Abigail died of pneumonia. March 30th, 1853. Happy birthday, Abigail! 1962. McNamara rejects Operation Northwood. Good one there, Bob. Drafted by the Joint Chief of Staff and signed by the chairman, Bloodthirsty Lemon Limiter, Northwood was a fake terrorist operation in cities within the United States, conducted by the CIA, in order to blame something on Cuba as an excuse to start a war. Who writes this stuff, you ask? Well, Limiter would later become NATO commander, but for now, here's what was written in the papers he signed. A series of well-coordinated incidents will be planned to take place in and around Guantanamo to give genuine appearances of being done by hostile Cuban forces. And I quote, a Remember the Maine incident could be arranged in several forms. We could blow up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blame Cuba. We could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area and other Florida cities and even in Washington. The terror campaign could be pointed to refugees seeking haven in the United States. We could sink a boatload of Cubans en route to Florida, real or simulated. Use of MIG-type aircraft by U.S. pilots could provide additional provocation. Harassment of civil air, attacks on surface shipping, and destruction of U.S. military drone aircraft by MIG-type planes would be useful as complementary actions, etc., etc., etc. Thanks, but no thanks, Chairman. According to James Bamsford and his book Body of Secrets, it's unclear as to whether President Jack Kennedy was told the full proposal in a briefing days later. And meanwhile, other creative methods were considered to remove Fidel Castro from power in Cuba. But for now, Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara, Mr. Policy Analysis himself, who escalated the Vietnam War, rejected it. And none of the plans were ever used. Finally, in basketball news, 1960. Wilt Chamberlain sets NBA playoff record with 53 points. 1965, Boston Celtics become the first NBA team to win 61 games in a season and would end with 62. And finally, 1996, number 13-seeded Princeton beats defending champions UCLA 43-41 in the second round of the NCAA tourney. And pretty much everyone had to throw away their March Madness brackets. Great game, though. So that wraps it up for March 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Be sure to tune into tomorrow's program. We'll talk about J. Edgar Hoover, the invention of the cast iron building, Eli Whitney patents the cotton gin, and revolution news about Alexander Hamilton. Plus, music news about Michael Jackson and Bon Jovi. So check it out. In the meantime, you can take a look at the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you think. Leave a comment on the comment board. Do you agree or disagree with some of the things that I've said? Let me know. You can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.